Hey, it's Coach Kate here, registered dietitian and owner of RD Kate Sports Nutrition. As a member of the LCC Stars Athletic Department, I teach our athletes what to eat and when to eat it on training days, competition days, and throughout the year. For over a decade, I've been helping athletes of all sports and levels meet their goals. RD Kate Sports Nutrition offers individual consulting, team services, on-demand courses, and downloadable handouts. For more information, visit rdkate.com.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Coach Cut's Corner. Streaming bright from Michigan's capital city, this podcast is dedicated to helping you better understand the who, the what, and the why of mental performance, personal growth, and Lansing Stars baseball. Coach Cut's Corner, brought to you by Eyewash. And now here's your host, Stephen Cutter.
Welcome to Coach Cut's Corner, where we break down what it takes to win in sports and in life. I'm joined today by my assistant coach and co-host, Ryan Radick. And we've got one of our freshmen who's made a real statement this fall, Jace Davis. Jace came to us from Woodhaven High School, the big town of Woodhaven, in Michigan, and has been one of the most consistent players in our program since day one. He hit almost 430 this fall, turned four double plays, and finished with a 972 fielding percentage over 42 chances. Just as impressive, his chase rate was below 9%, one of the lowest on the team. Today, Ryan and I are going to dive into Jace's journey, from the people and family who helped shape him before he arrived, to how he's adapted to the systems and standards inside our program. We'll talk about his discipline at the plate, his defensive versatility, and the changes he's seen in himself since stepping on campus. Welcome to the studios, fellas.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Always great to be here.
Oh, yeah.
When did baseball start to click for you?
Oh, geez. I would say I started getting like more confident in baseball towards around 13.
Yeah, that's usually when people start kind of gravitating towards things is when they have some success and then the confidence grows and then they want to do more of it. And Right. Then they also gravitate away from things where it becomes challenging and they're not great at it. Exactly why I don't golf anymore. So prior to that, you didn't have a whole lot of confidence in the game?
No, I did. I played on a couple pretty solid teams growing up when I was younger. And
like any 8U nationally ranked teams?
I mean, my 8U team was darn close. We were 38-2.
Okay.
So I feel like we could have competed at the national level.
Okay. Just not Carson Sweet
level.
Yeah,
maybe not Sweet level. That's a little much.
Okay. So were you playing other sports at that point?
Yeah, I played basketball all the way up till 8th grade, and then I played football all the way up till my senior year.
Okay. Who helped shape your love for the game? Any coaches or family members who really influenced you?
So my dad was definitely a big part of it. I feel like it is in most people's lives. My mom was too. She was very competitive. She played volleyball, cross country, and stuff like that.
In high school?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then my Coach Perry, one of my friend's dad, he coached us growing up and stuff. He didn't really know much about the game, but he like loved being there for us and kind of just helping us develop as people. And I feel like that kind of was very impactful.
You mentioned you played football. What position do you play?
I played a lot of positions growing up. My 8th grade year, I was an outside linebacker at 5 foot.
Okay.
So that was kind of crazy.
And that was because of the speed?
Speed, getting around the edge, and I hit pretty well too, believe it or not, yeah.
So you got some videos of that?
I can probably find some, yeah. And then after 8th grade year, they put me back at quarterback, freshman and sophomore year. And I played corner and safety a little bit on defense, but they didn't play me as much there. They wanted me at quarterback. But then I never really got the hang of quarterback. We had a read option offense, so I was running the ball a lot. I wasn't really throwing a lot. So at the varsity level, we threw it a lot more, and I struggled at reading a defense. Couldn't really pick out who. I would just, like, before the play, I would pick who I wanted to throw to, and I would just go off that.
I remember when I was in high school, one of the opposing schools, they had a quarterback that was colorblind, so he would always kind of somewhat struggle on who was on offense or defense, you know, so definitely challenging. So I you know, when you talk about the struggles to reading the defense, I can relate to that in some degree. Looking back at your time in Woodhaven, what did you learn that still helps you now?
I learned a lot of accountability. I did. At Woodhaven, for the varsity level, Coach Farner for baseball, I got brought up my freshman year on varsity, and he kind of pushed from day one accountability, like excuses, try not to do them. limit it as much as you can. It's all about you. You have to be accountable if you want to succeed.
And that's a pretty strong program. So you got brought up as a freshman. What was that like?
It was crazy. So I got pulled up for the playoff run. I think we lost in the regionals. And when I got brought up, I pinch ran a little bit. I got one at bat. I K'd looking on three straight. And kind of threw my hands up. And then after that, I talked to the coach, and he talked about that. And I was like, yeah, it was probably a strike. I don't know why I really threw my hands up. It kind of was just a reaction, and I had to correct that from day one. It was kind of a welcome to varsity moment. But when I got brought up, Gary Pilgrim, he played here last year. He was on my team, and I was in charge of giving him his smelling salts before at bats. So that was just the smelling salt runner when I got brought up.
Some things never change, I guess.
What a role. What a role. Yeah. What's been the biggest adjustment moving from high school baseball to college baseball for you?
I would say the environment, the atmosphere. You don't know anyone. You come here. You might know some people from playing against them or playing with them or something, but for me, I knew Caden Kappa and I knew Jake Norton from playing against them. I never really talked to them or anything like that. I just knew of them. So the environment was kind of different. Living on my own, that was a big struggle at first. I missed my house, missed my dog, stuff like that. Like, that kind of just, like, played a role, so I was more focused, I would say, on college baseball, trying to, like, compete. I've been competing for a spot all year. No matter what, I'm competing. You can't get comfortable. I feel like at the high school and sometimes travel ball level, it was easy to get like comfortable in your position. You didn't really have many people fighting for that spot after a while.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's definitely a big change coming to this level.
You kind of mentioned missing your dog and missing your bed and home and stuff like that. And I think homesickness is a real thing that usually happens in the months of August, September. Ryan, did you ever experience that when you first got started? Because you were away from home too.
Oh yeah, big time. You know, if any inconvenience at school makes it that much harder.
It's magnified.
Yeah. Makes it hard to be away from your family. That's like where you're most comfortable. And yeah, definitely struggled for a couple months there, right when I got to college my freshman year.
Did you kind of run into a wall when you got here and just like eyes wide open and a lot going on and you had to try to figure out a lot of, you know, we're going to talk about our systems a little bit as we move through this podcast, but just there's a lot here and there's a lot of expectations for you too.
Yeah, I feel like before I got here, before August 10th, the day we moved in, I was like happy. I was ready to go. I'm not saying I'm not happy now, but I was ready to go. And after that first like solid like 2 weeks, you start to be like, I kind of want to go home. I miss my house, stuff like that. And it's just a grind every day. You got to love the grind. You got to figure out what motivates you and gets you to that point and love the grind or you're going to be miserable.
Did you talk to your parents a lot?
Yeah, I try to call them every day. I call them right before I got here.
Really?
Yeah. My dad just got back from a Tennessee trip golfing, so I talked to him about that. And I try to talk to them as much as I can.
Nice. So it's a nice support system for you.
I'm very blessed to have that support system.
Brothers, sisters?
I have an older sister.
Oh.
Yep. She came and stayed with me last weekend.
Is she nice to you?
I think so, yeah. For the most part. Growing up, not so much.
Okay.
Yep. Right.
You hit 429 with an OPS over 1,000 this fall. What do you think led you to that kind of consistency?
I would say every day in practice competing. I feel like that led to a routine to where I was able to compete in the box like I haven't before.
Did it surprise you at all when you started off as hot as you did?
No, not really. I was confident going into it with the harder pitching and stuff like that. I would have to adjust and make like adjustments because I haven't really seen that in like past like constant 90. I haven't seen that before. I've seen it occasionally, but never constant.
I know you mentioned your welcome to high school varsity moment. Do you think you've had one here yet?
Yeah, I think so. Traveling and stuff, those are big moments. But I feel there was a game that I wasn't doing too hot in. And I was able to like adjust on the field and make a play or something like that. But then I would come in, I'd be trying to focus on my at-bat. And like I would just get a ball blown by me. And I just couldn't figure out how to time it up. Like in high school, it was way easier to adjust. And I was able to like, okay, just foot down, go. But like I feel like with like the different stuff at this level, with like everybody has a solid off speed. Everybody has a fastball that's not necessarily straight. So it was definitely hard to adjust. And I was like, all right, I got to work on this, get better at this so I can be a college baseball player.
How different are the daily expectations here compared to what maybe you were used to?
I would kind of say drastically. Every day there's a expectation that we have to like fulfill and
show up
and like the readiness test in the morning. I've never had anything like that. I have to do it 10 a.m. before 10 a.m. every day. I've never had anything like that, you know?
And didn't you, weren't you just late yesterday or something?
For, by 6 minutes.
6 minutes, yeah.
I was in class writing a paper. I look at my phone, I'm like, oh.
So you got some extra growth yesterday.
Yes, I did. Okay. Well deserved.
Okay. You've been immersed in our systems. You talked about the readiness tests in the morning, but from structure to accountability, how have these changed your approach to thinking about the game, thinking about development, thinking about growth?
I would say that you definitely, the accountability factor plays a lot in your growth, and the structure of our program like is really like, it's not individualized. It is at points, but like it's very like you have to get better and this is how you're going to do it. And like it kind of sets up a plan and a routine that you can make into your own to where you are growing. And I feel like that structure really helps.
What's been the biggest shift for you mentally? This is a program that's somewhat has an MO of, you know, mental performance and processes and belief systems and self-talk and things like that. What's been the biggest shift for you mentally?
Growing up through sports and stuff, I was always, I had some success. And when I would see the unsuccessful side of it, I got in my head a little bit, and it would affect my next at bat, I feel like. And getting here, I feel like I'm more relaxed. Say I strike out twice in a row, and that third at bat, I'm not even thinking about it. I'm just ready to attack. I feel like that's like a big change in my mental game.
Is that how you were, Ryan?
That's exactly how I had to be. That wasn't me at the start, for sure. Definitely flushing whatever's in the past, and in my own career, the injuries kind of made it so much easier to just focus on where my feet were and, like you said, attack every pitch like it's your last.
Your chase rate, which you don't even know what it is because we keep this stuff internally, but what chase rates are is where we track our position players and pitchers to if they're chasing balls out of the zone and then what balls are they chasing out of the zone. And your overall chase rate is 8.45% through almost 200 at-bats. One of the lowest on the team. Pretty incredible numbers. What's your mindset when you step into the box? How do you stay disciplined?
I would say finding your pitch and doing damage. That's what I think about a lot. You have three pitches to work with. You don't always have to swing at the one that's painting the outside corner. But in like high school and stuff, the umps weren't great. And I would,
what?
Yeah, right. And then I feel like at this level, I have more trust in the umpiring, and I'm able to like take that ball that's like, so far at least, that I've been able to like take that ball that's like half a ball off and stuff like that.
To go back on the umpire thing, I think a lot of it is just kind of like the systems here. You want to have some consistency, and right, sometimes you don't have that. But then you also have to have some grace at the high school level and sometimes at the travel ball or the youth levels where that zone has to expand, right, or you're going to have a 6-hour game,
yeah, right,
you know,
yeah,
and we kind of have to get through some stuff. In the scoreboard might dictate that too sometimes, even though it's not supposed to. Sometimes the scoreboard dictates the inconsistencies as well.
Right.
At the college level, you see more consistency with umpires, but you also do see some inconsistencies, and sometimes that has to do with the scoreboard, the weather, different, yeah, things, or maybe how hard the coach or the players are getting on the umpires, or how many times you're throwing up hands at
influencing them.
Throwing up hands and stuff like that. You've shown you've kind of have this defensive ability to be a utility guy, and you've played both the infield and outfield this fall. How do you prepare to handle multiple roles? Because both of those are really different positions.
Yeah, I would say just practicing. I've worked on infield my entire life. I've played outfield probably like a dozen times.
So 10 of them were this fall?
Yeah. But I would say you still have to work at what you've been working on. You know you might get some time in the outfield. You're going to get some time in the infield too. I feel you have to like balance yourself out as best as you can and get the same amount of work in at both spots so you're like able to compete still in the spring.
What do you take the most pride in defensively? What do you want to be known for?
I would like to be known for range. I worked on a lot of lateral quickness over the off season in between coming the high school ball, travel ball, and coming here. I had a trainer, and I was able to work on my lateral quickness and stuff like that. I want to be able to get that ball that's up the middle over the bag. I want to be able to get that ball that's a foot away from the third baseman's glove.
Yeah, makes a difference. First step, reactions, yeah, Tyson watches, mm-hmm, all that kind of stuff. Where do you still want to grow? What areas do you still want to grow in?
I would like to grow my arm strength.
Yeah, we spoke about that.
Yeah, I would like to grow there. it's not lacking. I wouldn't say that. It's definitely something I can work on and things of that nature. I'd also like to work on that my feet. I feel like my feet are sound most of the time, but there's those couple times where I get like a little like ate up a little bit and I can't get my glove down there. And I feel like you field the ball with your feet most of the time.
Mm-hmm. The best fielders get the best hops, mm-hmm. and they get the best hops because they have the best feet.
Right.
Ryan, thoughts on Jace as you look at him as a freshman, and you've got to watch him since, you know, August 10th, and you've got to watch him through practices and 21 fall scrimmages and things like that. What do you think about this kid here?
Well, at first he was really, really quiet. So
imagine that.
He just put his head down and got to work, it seemed like, from day one. It's been a joy just talking to him every day. You heard it here. He loves just holding himself accountable. He just works hard at everything he does, and you're seeing it on the field. So,
yeah, game knows.
Oh, yeah.
What about MTNC? That was kind of a big thing when we started off our season. How'd that go for you?
So I haven't ran like that in ever. It was worse than my football conditioning, and I don't think you can prepare for that, but I feel like it definitely helped. It's MTC mental toughness. So mental toughness conditioning. So I feel like the mental part of the game really was like simplified because you went through all of that and you were like, you felt like you had to stop, you couldn't do it. And then you just put your head down and did it. It definitely helps mental toughness and stuff like that.
KCS Angels.
Oh, I love those guys. Those are, I feel like that just like gives you like a better look at life. I feel like helping those guys, you're definitely helping them, but they're also helping you. And I feel like if you really like try to, you get more out of it than them.
Yeah, 100%. Well said. Are you different today than August 10th?
I think so. A lot's changed, but I feel like there's more to come.
What's your focus moving forward as a player and person? What are you locked in on?
As a person, I'm just trying to be a better person. Mm-hmm. I feel like there is like things that were really brought to light until I got here that I needed to work on personally. And then in the game of baseball, you just have to put your head down and go to work every day. I feel like that the saying, get 1% better every day, is really key to maximize your potential eventually. You can't get it now. You're never going to reach it.
No.
But the more you work, the better that you will be at some point in your career.
You're part of our leadership council too, 12 members.
Yep.
And you've been a part of that for a few weeks now as we've just got that going. What's that been like?
I love it. I do. I feel like it's just great to surround yourself with great people. And I feel like that's what that is. And learning about other people's opinions on like different topics and different ways of life, really, like if you like take it in, it can like help you out as a person.
Yeah, that's really solid. If you had one message for recruits, you are our recruiting coordinator, and you were going to tell them what it's really like here, what would you tell them?
I would tell them that there's no better opportunity. And like, if you want to showcase your skills and get to the next level and keep working every day, this is your spot, because it's not going to be easy, but it's going to be the road that you want to take to be a better person and to be a better baseball player.
That was Jace Davis, a player who represents everything we talk about in this program: discipline, adaptability, and daily growth. Ryan, I think we both agree, when you watch Jace play, it's not just the numbers that stand out. It's how he goes about his business. He's consistent, coachable, and already understands what it takes to compete at a championship level. Jace, we appreciate you joining us and sharing your story. Keep stacking bricks. The results are showing. For everyone listening, make winning in life your habit, not your goal. Excellence isn't an outcome, it's a daily standard. Until next time, keep stacking bricks and go Stars. Coach Cuts Corner is recorded live in the WLNZ studios with Dalian Lowry providing engineering and production assistance. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please share it and follow us on all forms of social media. Our program has been built and maintained with the help of many great people. If you want to be part of our mission, you can donate using the link in the show notes below. You can learn more at CoachCutter.com and more about our team at LCCStars.com. See you next time.